Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What's up, Joe?
Good morning, afternoon. Actually, it's much warmer here than after we left yesterday or the day before. Played a little bit better last night, so it's all good stuff.
I do want to talk about a lot that happened in the game last night, but I have a six-pack of Joe Madden's Try Not to Suck German-style lager sitting here in the studio. So what made you – because I always kind of fancied you more of a wine guy than a beer guy. So where did the idea for the beer come from?
Well, be patient regarding the wine. And the beer stuff, I've always thought that why couldn't you put something together like that, and the proceeds coming back to us will go to our foundation. It's just another way to raise money for the foundation. And on top of that, by utilizing or partnering with Haymarket, they have veterans there, veterans, both guys that have been gotten back on their feet and others that are still homeless involved in the packaging and distribution of the beer. So I thought it was a perfect marriage to socially get involved with this particular group in order to get the right people involved, make a great product. Listen, I've tasted it. It's outstanding. I really do like it a lot. Real cold is perfect. And but beyond that, like I said, it was just another way to raise money for the foundation. It's not easy to stump all the time and have different venues set up and different projects during the course of the offseason. It's hard to be in so many different places. I thought if you could put together something like this, the beer and then the spaghetti sauce is also coming out. It is out right now, too. This is the kind of stuff that helps you raise money for the foundation without having to go out all the time during the winter.
If you would like to pick up some of this beer, Joe Madden's Try Not to Suck beer, you can find it at Binney's Beverage Depot, obviously, Select Jewel and Osco stores, Haymarket Pub and Brewery, which is great. If you haven't been there, they've got all sorts of stuff and a great menu, too. Plus the Haymarket Tap Room in Bridgman, Michigan. So that'll be going on, and you can help out Rags of Honor 1, which provides assistance to homeless and at-risk veterans, as well as those who are in the early stages of reintegration from active military to civilian life. So you're able to do something fun and it be something good for the community. That's got to feel great.
It does. I mean, it does. And again, since we started with this foundation a couple years ago, something that my wife, Jay, really motivated me to do several years ago when I was still working with the Angels. And I thought I'd become a major league manager before I have the right kind of soapbox to put the message out there. And so starting with the Rays and now, of course, with us, with the Cubs, this particular situation provides a pretty big loudspeaker, a larger soapbox to stand on in order to get things done. So I'm really grateful for all of that. But it's something I've always wanted to do, put it together, and still have other ideas coming forth in the near future.
So if I'm looking for a nice, robust cab, you got me covered?
Working on it. Absolutely working on it. One of the things I wanted to do was utilize our paintings from last year in the wine industry and try to create wines with the paintings being the labels and the structure of the wine. So we're still working on that right now.
Okay, good. I like hearing that. All right, let's talk a little bit of baseball. I was watching last night. I felt like, and I'm not the expert you are, but I felt like you had incredible stuff last night. Like, his stuff was really popping last night and had great movement. What did you see?
Yeah, I mean, we have a great spot to watch the game from in that dugout. You're really close to home plate. And I do believe his stuff keeps trending in the right direction. It keeps getting better. Fastball's got more life. He's using his two-seamer bit now, which was very effective also. And then popped a couple good curves, but the cutter slider has been outstanding. And furthermore, I don't know if you recognize the emotion, but he got upset with himself one time, and then he got pumped up with himself another time after a strikeout. And by the time he came off that field, he was totally emotionally involved in that game. And that's the part I love the most about it. It was everything's trending properly, the stuff, but also his feeling about himself, feeling about being with us, everything the needle keeps pointing north and moving in that direction. So on so many different layers or levels, he was outstanding last night.
You also had an incredible catch from Albert Almora Jr. I know you've seen it a bunch of times, but every time you see it, do you marvel at what type of ground he's able to cover?
Yeah, because he's not the fastest guy. And again, I've compared him to Jimmy Edmonds. I had Jimmy for so many years. He started with him in the minor leagues with the Angels. And Jimmy was not the fastest, but you can never see his first step. And he ran great patterns, great straight lines to the intercept the ball. And that's what Albert did. Albert just has a great first step. He runs great routes. He's in a direct line. And then he ran, and then did not put his glove out to the last moment, which did not impede his speed. So, Albert continually shows that how good he is, and that was a magnificent. As soon as it was hit, you knew it was like placed almost perfectly, and oh, no, it's going to fall. But he got the catch.
He did, and Hayward was tracking in on it too, and you got two guys that really know how to take lines to the baseball out there trying to make a play on it. It's so fun to watch, and I'm sure with him being back in Miami, like that had to have been a great thrill for him. And you talk about the show of emotion. He had that too yesterday.
Yeah, Albert is from this area down here, and he's got a great following with his family, and absolutely I know they all revel in all of his play, but his defensive work always makes everybody respond to that. But beyond that, he's not hitting for a high average right now, but I'm telling you, swing's really good. He hit some balls. Well, and if a fly ball to left field could be crushed, he did that. So he's not far off of hitting the ball on the line like he had been doing in spring training.
I wanted to talk about Javier Baez for a little bit. Last night on Twitter, you know, it's one of those things where I feel like it's a weird thing to say about it, but I think he's the most electrifying player in Major League Baseball. It doesn't mean he's the best. I mean, that's still obviously Mike Trout. But there's something about him that you can't take your eye off him no matter what he's doing on the field. His instincts for running the bases is very impressive. How do you help nurture and develop some of that so that he can continue to be a great player?
You stay out of his way and you give him permission to make mistakes. I mean, if you try to inhibit this guy at all, then you're never going to see the player that you are, and I agree with you. He is the most exciting player to watch, and I think fans showing up know that in advance, and even if you're watching on TV, you're waiting for something to happen. When he's on bases, I communicate with him in different ways, just encouraging him to take chances when it presents itself. And his fearless nature in general permits this to happen. Some guys do not give themselves that kind of permission, and it really has to come from within. And we all have this, we always work with this governor, we all do, whether on a radio show, whether how you operate or I do in speaking with you right now, or just how I manage in general. But at some point, you just got to let it go to really find out how great you are at what you do. And that's Javi. Javi has no inhibition. He's not worried about making mistakes. He's trying to make something happen for the good. He takes legitimately appropriate risks, and for me, fortune does favor the bold. So there's so much to love about it. He's going to make a mistake. That's not in the double play. The throw back to Rizzo probably could have made a more accurate throw, rushed it a bit. But that's something that he'll continue to get better at. But this guy is really a joy to watch on a nightly basis.
Wilson Contreras seems like he's really locked in at the plate right now. What's gone into him? He's almost already like at his home run total for last year. What changed in him in his approach to the season?
Well, I watched him very carefully during camp. I can just tell you what I've seen. And it's what he's doing right now is very reminiscent of 2 years ago at the end of the year when he got hurt, when he was really on fire and he was on the verge of hitting 25 homers and 100 RBIs. He had gotten away from some things. And it is mechanical with him. And I think it's mechanical. It starts with that, with his how he works his body. And then beyond that, just purely comes down to organizing a strike zone. When he keeps an organized strike zone, man, he's really dangerous. If he accepts his walks, if you're watching this thing progress right now, if he's drawn a couple walks, he's going to get real dangerous because he's going to force the pitcher over the plate. And right now, when it's there, I don't care what the velocity is or the break is. If he forces the pitcher in his area, he's going to hit it hard somewhere. So he's readjusted to where he'd been a couple years ago. Typically plays with his hair on fire. How about beating the force play at second base yesterday? How big that play was for us, too. Listen, this guy plays with a ton of emotion, a ton of passion, and I want him to reel some of it in as we continue to move it along. But again, almost like Javi, you have to be careful what you wish for sometimes.
Do you feel like you've got all the early issues of your bullpen kind of sorted out and fixed, at least until you get healthier?
Well, I love the arms and I love the ability of our bullpen. The thing that we really have to iron out still is the command issues, walks. You know, we thought we could get it, we had it done, and then all of a sudden it pops its ugly head back up in there. So I love the talent. I think the talent is absolutely good enough to be an outstanding bullpen. And it is. What we just have to do is to fine-tune it, get them over the plate a little bit more consistently. And as they do, as we cut down on our walks and make them put the ball in play and force and permit our defense to play, that's when they're going to get really good. If you saw last year, we had the best bullpen in the league, and it wasn't a strikeout bullpen, and this one's not either. But we take advantage of our defense. So cutting down on the walks, making pitches, good pitches in the zone, and having the offense put the ball in play and permit our defense to play, that's when they're going to get really good.
Talking with Cubs manager Joe Maddon here on The Score. We were talking about his beer. Joe Madden's Try Not to Suck Beer, which you can pick up at Binney's and a lot of Jewel Osco places and Haymarket as well. You can follow Joe on Twitter at Cubs Joe Mad. There's a story that came out in The Athletic today. Patrick Mooney had the story about Carl Edwards Jr. getting some racist hate mail and hate speech from people on social media. I know that you're about managing people and personalities. When something like this happens, what's your approach in dealing with it with the player? And how do you feel the organization is going to deal with it?
Well, first of all, I haven't spoken to Carl about this specifically yet, and I need to. I was not aware of it when it actually did occur. What I normally would do is I would just listen. I would listen to the player, and then at that point, really try to advise him and understand that that I think is a minority. It's a vocal minority that's going to say those kind of things. And I also believe in, you know, people just throwing stuff like out there like that just for a reaction because they can't. I mean, through social media and Twitter or whatever, there's so many different venues now for people to attempt to gain a reaction in an attempt to gain notoriety, maybe just among a small group of friends. So he has to understand that it is a minority. It is not a majority. I really believe that sincerely. And he has to know that he has our full support in dealing with all of this. I think Theo has already made a statement regarding our position on it, which I fully support. So it's just the nature of it's so easy for people to put things out there right now that could be commented upon. And I think this is a possibly a classic situation of that. So Carl's got our support. He knows that. Listen, I love this boy. And so we just have to talk. I just need to listen to him and help him work his way through it.
Yeah, and it happening on Jackie Robinson Day, where it's supposed to be a celebration of the diversity of the game, it added kind of a pall to it when I was thinking about what Carl is going through down in the minor leagues trying to get himself right and then having that to go through too.
Listen, you're right, and I am such a Jackie Robinson fan. When Yankee Stadium closed down, the original Yankee Stadium, there was a framed poster in the manager's office of Mr. Robinson, and it was all about courage. So Lou Kakuza is the clubhouse guy back there, and I asked him if I could buy it from him. He said, no, just take it. And I still have that poster. I had it up in my office in Tampa Bay for several years. Such a big fan of what Mr. Robinson had done and the barriers that he had broken and the courage that he demonstrated, all of that stuff, huge fan. So like you said, it's unfortunate that all this happened yesterday, but also probably was a planned part of all of this too. So again, I know that Carl knows that 99.9999% of the Cub fans support him, and it's just a couple loudmouths looking for a reaction that are getting the reaction.
What's the latest on John Lester?
Doing really well. Doing really well. Johnny is moving along actually pretty good. See, the thing about John does not like being hurt, and he's not used to being hurt. And I was watching him go through his routine before I left, and it was pretty impressive where he's at already. Saying that in a positive way, I still don't have a finish line regarding when he's going to be well and ready to play again. But he is. He's progressing really well, and he's eager to get back. Johnny does not like sitting on the sidelines.
No, I mean, you can tell. Like it's definitely in his personality that he wants to be out there and he wants to help the team. What kind of went into the decision making after the snow out on Sunday to keep Chatwood where he was instead of starting him?
Well, we just, you know, it's early. We want to keep the regular guys in their normal rotation, keep them on their normal days. With all that, we have so many days off, so it kind of got awkward. And it was just pretty much about keeping everybody else on as opposed to taking Tyler out of there. Tyler's available in the bullpen right now, and we'll work him back in there. We're going to need him at some point here soon regarding getting an actual start. So it was just keeping Darvish in his normal turn.
Q goes tonight. His stuff was swing and miss stuff the last time that he was out there. When he's right, what is he doing well?
He is attacking, and he is he's throwing strikes, and he's getting ahead of hitters. That's because when he does that, his curveball becomes an even better pitch, and so does his changeups. And having just said that, I thought that he utilized his curve and changeup better the last time out there. He was more apt to utilize it. Sometimes he gets real fastball heavy and doesn't interject those other pitches as often as I think he should. So when he has a better mix of all the pitches, that's when he could be really dominant. He's able to elevate with his fastball. He's able to get in on righties with his fastball, and then he dumps it right on the plate, and the changeup keeps getting better and better. So listen, what he did the other day is something that he's very capable of doing more consistently because he's got this great mix, and he's been primarily just a fastball kind of a pitcher. But if this curve and changeup, he gains more confidence and it heads up, he's going to have more games like he did the last time out.
You've got a couple of veteran guys, and even though KB's still young, KB and Rizzo, that are struggling a little bit at the plate. What's your approach in dealing with guys who have had success hitting as far as them talking to you or you talking to them about what they're doing right or wrong? Do you let them figure it out, or do you interject?
I wait for them to ask. I rarely just purely interject that because I really want the hitting coach and the hitter to work that through. But the other day I had a really good conversation with KB. He came in my office. We sat down, had a wonderful conversation. And most of it was not about hitting, actually. It was just about things in general. And sometimes guys just need to talk. And so we talked probably a half hour or something like that, just about stuff in general. Because a lot of times, you know, with young players and young really good players, they get a lot of stuff on their plate. And sometimes it's just about processing the moment better, not just about where are my feet or are my hands, et cetera. So I really want them to know that I support them and how much confidence I have in them. And, I mean, that's the definition of true leadership, is believing in your guys. So I wanted him to know that. And then Riz and I could actually talk hitting when he's in the hole, like before he goes on deck. And because he's so relaxed and understands his body movements that we could talk about stuff, and we do when he's at that point before he goes out on the on-deck circle. And so it's two different guys. I don't want to get into that with KB as much, although there's times that we do. Riz is he's wide open, man. You could talk to him about anything at any time. So it's knowing your audience, it's knowing your guys. And recently I've had conversation with both these guys about hitting.
What's going on with Riz from your perspective?
Nothing. Hit the ball well to left field. He's had some really good swings. I know he feels pretty good. It's typical. He's hit some bad luck. The shift hurts him once in a while, so his batting average numbers don't look as good. I think Riz is fine. It's just one of those things that everybody goes through. So heads up. I mean, the game owes us a bunch of points with Riz right now just because based on how good he is. So he's going to come out of this scorching very, very soon. But physically, mechanically, he's fine.
All right, so Joe, I got two fun questions for you to end our week this week.
Sure.
Are you team pie or team cake?
Oh, pie. Apple pie is my favorite of all time.
Okay. All right, I'm team cake.
That's okay.
But if you get a warm apple pie, I'm good with that.
There's nothing I mean right now I'm not eating sweets, but if I were, I could have apple pie, and if I could actually eat ice cream, apple pie and ice cream every night. I'm lactose intolerant, so I'm knocked out of the ice cream world. And I love apple pie, so once I come out on the other side of this weirdness I'm on right now, apple pie is the absolute best dessert on earth.
Okay, that's fair. Now, okay. The other question has to do with The Office.
Sure.
Lately, yep. on Twitter, on the internet, there's been some talk, and as someone who likes The Office but isn't as deeply entrenched in it, I have an opinion on this, but I wanted to ask you, if you think about it objectively, is Pam Beasley a trash human?
A trash human?
Yeah. Because I mean, she kept Jim from living out of his dream. She was cheating on Roy with Jim. I mean, there's a lot of evidence that Pam Beasley's a trash human, Joe.
No, she was a sweetheart from Scranton, Pennsylvania. You know, that's my neck of the woods up there. I can't trash anybody from northeastern Pennsylvania. You know, Scranton's 45 minutes from Hazleton, where I grew up, and I played for the Scranton Red Sox when I was in summer leagues in 1973 and 4. And since 75, I went to Boulder, Colorado. So that's, you know, that sign in the beginning of the show?
Yeah.
Where that's the Central Scranton Expressway. I drove by that sign every day that I played up there. And it was a great little club down right from there called the Tilios that I used to hang out at. So I have nothing but warm fuzzies about all that. I know that show inside and out. And I hope it doesn't come back because it could never be better. I was watching reruns last night. So I watched this show constantly, but please don't go there, Pam.
Joe, but who's better, Pam or Karen?
Karen. Oh, Filippelli? Pam.
He's Team Pam. All right. We have now established that Joe is Team Pie and he is Team Pam. Joe, as always, thank you so much for your time. I look forward to talking to you again next week.
You guys be well. Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.